We're so thankful to be able to come back with this second lesson on workers of iniquity. We are looking at two different testimonies that are given in the last day. And we find out it's too late for one crowd to make their appeal. It's too late. They have made their statement in their life. So when it comes now to this last day, it doesn't matter what they say. It matters what they have done. And therefore, then it matters what the Lord says about them. And it's an awful judgment to put down upon any people, but they have had the same opportunity everybody has had, but they have had a selfishness to keep them from the joys of the Lord. And we start reading in Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Strive, that is, to agonize. There's a conflict. It's the same word, fight. It's the same word, contention. It's the same as laboring fervently to enter into the straight gate. Dear soul, it's a serious thing to be given physical life, because that physical life is going to lead you into eternal life. And you're going to have to face eternity. So we need spiritual life to be able to do it. And spiritual life includes a death to our own self-life and our own self-desires and selfish desires and living only for the Lord. The Bible said, we conclude this, that since all were dead in trespasses and sins, Christ had to die for all of us. And if Christ died for all of us, then all of us must have been dead. So now that we are made alive, we owe our life to Him. We are to live our life for His glory. And those that don't are going to seek to enter in, but they didn't strive to enter in the time of their opportunity. So they're going to hear Him say, you're going to seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25 of Luke 13. When once, happens once and that's it, the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. And they're going to argue with him. And here's their case they're going to try to set forth. Then shall ye begin to say. You're not going to finish. You're just going to begin, because the Lord's not going to allow it to continue. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They're saying that we are workers of righteousness. We are those who should be able to enter into the joys of the Lord. Send Lazarus and tell him to bring me some water. Too late. Can't do it. You have used up all your good things. Lazarus had all his evil things, striving, fighting, laboring fervently to enter in. And it didn't bother you at all to see that. You just figured you were better than he was. You didn't realize what that preacher said was true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people are not going to realize what sin really is and what sinners have been made of us who have fallen from the glory of God until eternity. And they're going to spend eternity gnashing their teeth and gnawing on their tongues and writhing in pain and anguish, not just at the fires of hell, the physical affliction, but the gnawing worm of understanding that I could have escaped this. I didn't listen. I didn't do what he said. Did you hear what he said? You can enter into the joys of your Lord, because I was on hunger and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And they're going to say, Lord, we don't remember seeing you like that. He said, yeah, that was me. And I read you in the book of Isaiah that the Lord hath given people for thy life. He's the one that set up in Isaiah 43 verses 3 and 4. We saw that Jesus Christ set up poor people. Some people had to be poor all their life to give you opportunity to be able to minister to them. Some people had to be, as it were, naked without any clothing. You walked around in fine clothes. They didn't even have enough to cover their body 7 days a week. Had to wear the same old garments all the time. Listen, they were hungry. They went to bed hungry. Their children were just as good as your children. But they went to bed hungry. They were skinny and they were in ill health. And you just figure, you know, we don't want to get around them. They're not like us. And you're right. And one of the verses that entered my mind in the earlier lesson was, God has chosen the foolish things, the base things, and the things that are naught, that no flesh should glory in my presence. Those were the ones that God chose. Those were the ones that he put the glories of eternal life in. Have you ever read the Gospels? Have you ever read about Mary and about Elizabeth and, you know, about John the Baptist's daddy and some of those people and some of the fishermen and all of them? And then you read about the Pharisees and the high priest and all those folks. Did it not ever occur to you that there were those who were Christ's disciples and that he was around and that he chose to be among, that they were the kind of people that we want to shun? Well, if you shun them, you shun him. Because he says, those were the people I gave you. And in Matthew 25, he said, we can't give you a do-over. Those people don't exist anymore. And I'm not going to put them back through that again. You had the poor, you had the homeless, you had the sick, and I gave you opportunity to render unto me. Inasmuch as you did it unto them, you did it unto the least of them, you did it unto me. You didn't see Jesus. You could only see you. We need to strive to enter in by putting down self and staying dead to self and living for the good of others and for the glory of God. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not about routine and tradition and meeting in a certain place on a certain day and wearing certain kind of clothes and saying certain things and having certain officers. And, you know, we don't know God. We know religion. We don't know Christ, but we say we know Christianity. We need to be careful, dear folks. We need to be careful. Now, in 2 Peter, and I want to make sure, I promised you this morning we were going to look at Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, and I hope to get to that. In 2 Peter, let me begin in chapter number 1 to tell you some things that the Apostle Peter is saying to us by the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And it's not just talking about accumulating information. The knowledge of God is experiential knowledge. It includes accumulating information because the more you learn of Him, the more you love Him. But it includes also experiential knowledge. He said, according as he has, verse 3 of first chapter of 2 Peter, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Did there need to be a certain man to fall among thieves in order that the Samaritan might express his Christianity upon? Yes. Did he get a man that fell among thieves? Yes, he did. And the Lord said to minister unto that man that fell among thieves, he was ministering unto me. But that man had to experience that. Have you ever been robbed? We've had our car, our home, and our church office broken into. We had the air conditioners on the backside of this church sitting on concrete platforms, jerked off as they came in here in their trucks and jerked our air conditioners off and stole them for the metal that they could get out of, whatever they could break up and sell. Thieves. And the Lord Jesus said, listen, you're going to have that on earth. So what I want you to do is get a heavenly mindedness and lay up treasures in heaven where thieves can't break through and steal. Nobody can mess with what you do for the glory of God. It is laid up in heaven. It's a treasure in heaven. And when you get there, the Lord is going to say, well done. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Because you strove to enter in. You did what God said for you to do. And before I forget it, Lord willing, our dear brother Bobby Quick is going to favor us with a song, and I think it's going to be Trust and Obey. I like that song. Not only trust in the Lord for what he says, but do what he says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Some people are so Calvinistic that if people were to ask them, what must I do to be saved, like the Philippian jailer did, they'd say nothing. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You better believe. So there is the obey that goes with trusting. Do what God said. Put it in practice. God is absolute energy. He is all active all the time. In him is no darkness at all. We must be like him. He said, God hath given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You don't have anything that you're lacking to be able to express and to emit from your life godliness. It's amazing. You see these guys stop and these doors slide back out of these step vans, and they step out of the van and go around back and get their packages out, and they've got the little trolleys to put it on, and they got their uniforms, and you know, and they got their little handheld computers to scan, and they can let you sign with your finger, everything they need, and none of their trucks have bad tires. And all of their trucks crank back up when they get back in them. The Coca-Cola Company, amazing. The uniforms they have, the caps they have, the if they need somebody to ride with them and they drive one of the big old 18-wheeler Coca-Cola trucks, unbelievable. They got everything they need. Open the back door and slide down a ramp and let those rollers roll down everything. Everything they need. The Army, the Navy, unbelievable, all the stuff that is provided for those who are in those outfits. But dear soul, none of them hold a candle to God. There's not a single person, single soul that's ever entered into eternity, and there are multitude, billions and trillions of souls in eternity, not one can say, I didn't have what I needed to fulfill my responsibility to God. He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and called us to virtue. Not to just enjoy the glory of God in eternity, but to enjoy the virtue, the power, the strength. Get out there and do it. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God giving you great promises. Why? Because he gave you all the equipment you needed. There's nothing that's been held back from you. You don't have to hear, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." You don't have to have your case fall flat and say, "I'm seeking to enter in," and hear him say, "You worker of iniquity, depart from me." You can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you have used everything that God has given you, and God hath given you everything that you possibly need to accomplish the will of God and to express your true Christianity. You're his witnesses. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. The salt hath not lost its savor." And there's no rainy day when the salt lumps up and you can't get it out of the shaker. God's salt works. It prevents corruption and provides flavor. Dear soul, listen. Nobody, no army, no company, no employee of any company has ever had as much given to them and provided for them to accomplish the work that they have been given to do like the true Christian. That's why God can say to those who did not strive and did not put on the uniform and did not get out there and do what they were supposed to do and live for the glory of God. What is that verse in Matthew chapter? Oh my goodness, I shouldn't do this. It said, is it 4:16? You don't know because you don't know what I'm looking for. It said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father and see your good works." That they may see your good works. Isn't that amazing? You say, "Wait a minute. I could do nothing without you. You said that, Jesus, in John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing." And I understand that, and I know that, and I can't. But you're going to give me credit for being able to do good works? But you're the one that had to do it. But, dear soul, he did it through you. And you strove to enter into it. And it was a narrow way. The wide way, the broad way, people just fall into it. No problem with that. The angels had to come and take Lazarus up into the glory of the Lord, but the rich man just fell into hell. Broad is the way, and many there be that go in therein. But narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. Few that be that find it. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Listen, dear soul, that's striving. You're not living your life for yourself. You're living your life for Jesus' self. So we come to see, he says, great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature. I'm not going to be God. You will never be God. But dear soul, that holiness, that life that we have as a Christian is God's divine nature. Christ in me is the hope of glory. So we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You had to strive to do that. You had to put forth some energy. You had to put forth some effort. You had to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You can't just say, "Well, yeah, I believe the word of God," and then you live your life according to you. It's not your life anymore. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and we all owe our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. And besides this, giving all diligence. You're going to have to strive. You're going to put forth some effort. You're going to have to pray without ceasing. You're going to have to every day. Paul said, "I have to die daily." What does that mean? It means you can't get up and say, "Lord, come go with me." You have to not get up and not put your foot on the floor until you say, "Lord, help me to stay dead to myself and show me what your will is for me today." That's the true servant of God. Giving all diligence add to your faith. You have faith? Yep. Can you show it to me? Well, the only way you can show faith is by works. Because faith without works is dead. And that's not faith. Faith is ever active. So he says, add to your faith virtue. What does that mean? Put some feet on your prayers. Do what God told you to do. Live this day for the glory of God. But what does that mean? Well, be careful. The devil will give you jobs to do to embarrass you and say, well, if you don't do this, you're not doing it. Dear soul, listen. Just walk with the Lord. Just obey the Lord. Just seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's yet near. Read his word. Learn to think his thoughts. Pray his word back to him. Learn to be able to have his word as your consciousness. And he goes on to say, add to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, add temperance. Some people got a lot of Bible knowledge. They ain't got the slightest bit of ability to know how to use it. They're intemperate in it. Add temperance. And to temperance, add patience. You're going to have to keep doing this every day for the rest of your life, every minute. Let me ask you this. When your mother birthed you into the world, when did you stop being a human being? You say, well, that's silly. I haven't stopped being a human being. I never will. That's what the birth brought forth. Okay. So what is the natural birth there for? To show you the spiritual birth. So now that you're birthed by the Holy Spirit, when can you stop being a spiritual Christian? You can't. Because God birthed a spiritual Christian, and you're going to be spiritually Christian all the days of your life. Does that mean you won't sin? No. Sorry to say, but it won't. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So we understand and see that God hath given us a special spirit within us, a spiritual individuality of reproducing the person of Jesus Christ within us. And he says in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read 1 Peter 1, excuse me, 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 7. Study them. Break the words down and see what God is saying. And these are not things you need to get. These are things you've already got. When you were birthed into the world, how many fingers did your mama give you? 10. Toes? 10. How many noses? 1. Eyes? 2. Listen, you had everything you needed to be a human. You have everything you need to be a Christian. But were you an adult when you were born into the world? No. But you were just as much a human being as your grandmother. You were just as much a human being as your granddaddy. What was the difference between you and them? Maturity. Grow up. But you don't lack anything that you need. And God will help you develop it and bring it on according to his progressive sanctification. He will not put more on you than you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God will take care of you. A good farmer will not overload his oxen or those animals that he has. He doesn't expect more out of them than they're able to give. Do you think farmers and husbandmen are smarter than God? No. If he requires you to do something, he gives you the ability to be that thing in order that you might do it when it's proper for you to do it. He said, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was ever purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, strive, to make your calling and election sure. Listen, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. An abundant entrance, into the kingdom of God. You will not ever hear him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Why? Because these things of the Spirit were in you, and they developed in you and progressed in their growth as God progressed you in growth and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our older children used to say, "You didn't let me get away with that. You don't let me get away with that like you do that younger person." Well, the younger one, not able to do what you do. And they're going to be required to do what I require you to do when they get your age. God won't put more on you than you're able to bear. Nobody's asking you to be Superman. You just need to be properly related to God in your present state, in your continual diligence and striving, so that you will never ever hear, "I don't care what you're seeking, depart from me, I never knew you." Now, over in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 11, "Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, there are those who speak evil of dignities. But these workers of iniquity," he says in verse 12, "these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of those things that they understand not." I have never seen the political arena, and you know I very seldom, if at all, speak about politics. But I want to tell you something. I've never seen a political arena in America like I see today. It has gotten to be fashionable to sling mud, to criticize people, to put folks down, and to talk about how terrible they are. God says these are natural brute beasts who speak evil of dignities. You need to be careful. You need to strive against that. That's one thing that's right now needs to be striven against. Strive to enter in. All you got to do is show respect. Don't get into, "Well, boy, we really trashed old so-and-so because he was not of our political party in the break room the other day." Really? What would it have taken for you not to get into that? "Well, it would take a lot of strife for me to stay out of that, and folks might mock me and laugh at me, and I could have got some laughs and people pat me on the back and say, 'Yeah, that's right,' when you were trashing that particular individual." God says that's an earmark of apostasy, speaking evil of dignities. What's a dignity? It's a person who's in an honorable position. Didn't say he was honorable or she was honorable. Said, but, you know, if that's your mayor or that's your governor or if that's your whatever, senator or congressman or whatever, you be careful how you speak against them, because the powers that be are ordained of God. And if you resist the power, you resist God. That's what he says. Read Romans chapter 13. That's just one little way. I just wanted to bring that up. It's something that's practical, to bring it out and say, this is what I'm talking about. Strive. Stay out of it. Remain a Christian. Get your tongue sanctified. Get your heart sanctified. Get your mind sanctified. Be careful. "For inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me." Be careful. Listen. Verse 12 of 2 Peter 2. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to rot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. You can make sure that they're going to get into the church. They're going to say, well, you know, we're just good as everybody else. I was baptized by the same preacher in the same county water as you are. But they don't know God from third base. You need to be careful. You're going to have to find a way to strive against that. And don't let this thing draw you in. Do I need to bring out the frog in the water again? Drop a frog into boiling water, he'll jump out of it. Ah! But drop him in a pan of cold water and turn the light up under it and turn it up gradually, and you'll have frog legs for too long because they get accustomed to the increase of heat. And dear soul, you've been in this world long enough to where you're tempted to grow accustomed to what is going on in the world. We turn out to be people of our own destiny, of our own own nation, of our own environment. This is the way it is. Well, everybody does it. Yeah, and everybody's going to hell too. Broadway, many there be that fall in thereat. But don't you want to avoid hearing you worker of iniquity, depart from me? You say, yes, I sure do. Then narrow way, straight gate, few that be that find it. Can you find that way? Can you guard your tongue? Can you purify your mind? Can you strive to enter in? Dear soul, this is what we're talking about. One of these days, we'll be standing in eternity at the very judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and it's too late to make your case. You make your case now. And dear soul, you're going to want to be able to have the Lord make your case for you. Well done, good and faithful servant. I was sick. You didn't put me down. I was poor. You didn't say, well, you know, they're not like us. You know, we don't associate them people. Strive. Are you striving? Have you given up on striving? Don't do that. It's dangerous. That's what the Lord said. You can't seek to enter in unless you strove to get in to start with. Read on down. Eyes full of adultery. Verse 14. Forsaken the right way and gone astray. Listen. Wells without water. Verse 17. They speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that have clean escaped from them who live in error. They get people and drag them back into sin once these people have decided they're going to get out of it. They're not born again, but they're good moral people. And you know what they say, one bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. Those who with evil communications, that's what I was trying to think of. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And dear soul, it's amazing to me how many people that I thought were decent people have learned how to swear and to cuss and to bring out filthy words. You can't get around people without bringing out words that you never thought would ever be spoken in public, but they are. In almost every scene in every movie, they got to have a filthy word so that it can sell. And it's, well, we don't want to watch that. That's kind of like a Disney movie. It's just too pastel. We want some action, you know. And here you go. You're going to strive against it. You say, well, I'm beginning to see what you're saying now, preacher. Dear soul, I hope we're seeing what God is saying, because one day, the door's going to be shut. The Lord shut to the door. The Lord shut Noah in, and so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. When the master of house has risen up and shut to the door, and you begin to knock and say, open unto us. He said, depart from me. Get away from my door. I don't know you. You're a worker of iniquity. Did you ever think of yourself in all of your Christian endeavors, in all of your religious endeavors, as being a worker of iniquity? No. Well, friend, how did you come to know decency and holiness and godliness and righteousness? Was it not by the new birth? Then we need to make sure we implement that which God hath placed in us, given us exceeding great and precious promises, given unto us life and liberty and all things. Is that what he said? Hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You don't lack anything. The tires on your truck of Christianity are not slick. You got good tires. Everything you need in your endeavor to be a Christian works. God has provided it for us. So strive, use it, involve yourself in true spiritual Christianity. That's what it's all about. Let me read you some verses. 1 John, going over another book from Peter. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 18. Now this verse will give you problems, I hope. It does me. And I hope it gives you problems in a good way. Listen. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You say, well, then I'm not a Christian because I have sin in my life and I work against it. I struggle hard against sin. It's always there with me. Well, that's why this verse gives you trouble. Let me read it to you in the Amplified. He says in the Amplified, we know that whosoever is born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. Does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. It's not something that you do. Let me say it this way. It's not something that you want to do. It's something that you want not to do. So that's what it's saying. It's not saying that you have sinless perfection. But I will tell you this. If you limit it to whatsoever is born of God, the spiritual man never sins, because the spiritual man is the man of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit doesn't sin. So my natural man never has been cured from lust of the flesh and the pride of life, but my spiritual man sinneth not. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That which is born of God, that which is, read John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh, and the Greek reads, is being flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is being spirit. So that you cannot do what you would without a fight between the two. But your spiritual man is never going to lust unto sin. But your natural man is never going to be away from that lust. So you're going to have to strive to enter into the spiritual mindedness and the spiritual nature that God has given you, and do everything you can to stay out of the nature that you got from old Adam. Because it's not ever going to seek holiness. Never will. 1 John 2 and verse 29. if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I know that Jesus Christ is righteous. Therefore, I know that only those of us who are born of the Lord Jesus Christ can have his righteousness fulfilled in us. Strive to enter into that man. Strive to grant that man encouragement and strength and you know, do what God wants you to do and flee from very appearance of evil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Peter sinned and went out and wept bitterly. Did God throw him away? No, he used him as the great preacher on the day of Pentecost to preach the first great gospel message in public that was ever preached on earth. So we understand and see, yes, a sheep can fall in the mud, but only a pig will live in the mud. And Peter said, these are natural brute beasts. They are without the new nature. Let's go to the pasture again. Let's turn loose a bee, a bumblebee, and a buzzard. Okay? Turn a bee and a buzzard loose in a pasture. What's the bee going to go to? Flowers. What's the buzzard going to go to? The rotting carcass of that calf or that dog or whoever it was that fell and died out there in the pasture. He's going to that. Did not the bee have the liberty to go to the rotten carcass? Yep. Did not the buzzard have the liberty to go to the flower? Yep. What made them go to what they went to? The bee to the flower and the buzzard to the carcass. Their nature. Ta-da! Dear soul, whatever nature you have will determine that which you do. If you are righteous, you will do righteousness. If you are not born again, but you are filled with the ungodly spirit of lust and greed and carnality, you will go to the rotting carcasses of life. So in that which you strive to do will manifest whether you will ever hear, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity," or not. Nobody's saying, I can't say it because I'm not perfect. I have never been perfect. The only thing that's perfect within me is the righteousness of Christ that is imparted to me and imputed to me. It's his righteousness. He, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's ours. But I still have the propensity to sin because I am born of woman. I am born of the flesh. It's still here. But in all the years of my Christianity, I've been doing everything I can to kill out the hunger and the appetite for sin and to nourish and to strengthen and encourage the spiritual man. I've been striving for that. That's what we're talking about. That's what you need to do. You need to continue to strive. It's not popular. It's not popular with yourself. I don't need the world and the devil to cause me to sin. I got me. And as the Apostle Paul said, I have to die daily. I have to tell that natural man, I don't care how much you want it. I don't care how much you don't want to do it. You need to do what God said. And the natural man said, I can't. And I said, yep, you're right. So I kill you out. I starve you out. I push you out. I deny you of what you want. I won't let you eat off of the bowl of grace and try to be a counterfeit and a compromiser. I reserve the bowl of grace for the spiritual man, and I pray and ask God and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near and ask him to help me to strive now so that I will be able to properly seek to enter in that day and not ever hear him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye workers of iniquity." God have mercy. That's what we're talking about. Hebrews, let's go. The book of Hebrews. When is time to strive? Now. Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. And we see that the apostle is talking about this and saying this is our time for us to strive. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice," and are you hearing his voice? "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation," when they provoked God. You've got an example of this. The children of Israel in the wilderness provoked God. They heard his voice and they said, "Nope, not going to do it." In the day of temptation in the wilderness, you tempted God. "When your fathers tempted me," that's what he said, "your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. You saw my works 40 years. So we see that you need to understand today is the day of salvation. You're hearing God's voice. The gospel is being preached to you. Don't turn away from it. He said, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Dear soul, for 7 years I studied the scriptures and was president of my Sunday school class and went to church and joined the youth choir, and I tried to be squeaky clean morally. And I only knew God's acts, A-C-T-S. I knew what he did. I studied in Bible school and in vacation Bible school and in Sunday school, and I listened to the preacher and I read my Bible and I understood what happened at the Red Sea, how God acted. I understood what God did here and God did there and how he raised the dead and all that. And I only knew God's acts, what he did, but I didn't know God's ways, who he was in me. He said, "They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath," I swear in my wrath, "they shall not enter into my rest." What rest is he talking about? Eternal rest in Jesus Christ. So the apostle turns to us and says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The passage in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 tells you that there are people that started out walking with God and started out being influenced by the Holy Spirit, and yet they departed from the faith, and it said it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. You can't put the toothpaste back into the tube. You can't bring them back to a place of where they can be forgiven all over again. It's too late. Listen. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today." Why? Because today is the day of salvation. He says, "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins." Excuse me, the deceitfulness of sin. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Endureth to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Listen. Go down to chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Strive to make sure you don't harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He wasn't just talking about a rest from the wars of the tribes that were in the promised land. He was talking about an eternal rest in Jesus Christ, for Christ is our Sabbath. And he said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. I am striving every day to cease from the works of the flesh. It came with me. You and I both were of the flesh long before we were of the Spirit. It was later in life that we were born again and got the new birth. We had already been accustomed to doing what we wanted and follow the dictates of the flesh. You're going to have to strive against that. That's what this is about. Strive to enter in. No need of seeking then in that last day if you do not strive now. My soul. James chapter 4. We'll try to close. James chapter 4. Verse 13. It says go to now in the King James. It means come now. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Anything wrong with that? Well, don't sound like it's bad to me. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Back yonder when you said, I'm going to go do so and so, did you get to do it? You say, well, you know, thus and so happened and I didn't get to do it. You need to be careful. If you put this off and say, well, I'm going to strive later in my life, you may not get the opportunity to do it. Verse 15, James 4. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You have just been told it is good to strive. Now, if you determine to do it not, that's sin. You say, well, my mama, my daddy, my uncle, my aunt, my neighbor, my friend, my cousin, they want me to straighten up and fly right. They want me to join the church and straighten out my life. I'm going to do that one day. Their soul, it may not be an opportunity one day to do it. Today is the day. Why don't you write this very second, this very tick, this very talk? Determine your heart. I'm going to strive to enter in. It's a narrow way, but I think the preacher has helped me to be able to find it, and few they be that find it. Broad is the way. Well, that's Christianity. That's religion. They're going to, we're going to be great. We're going to do what we're going to do. Yeah, but Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I appreciate the privilege that we have had to be able to come to you with this gospel lesson. And we pray that God will help you to strive to enter in. And we ask you now, if you will, to pray for Brother Bobby quick as he comes around to bless us with a beautiful number on the piano. May God bless you. Come on, Brother Bobby.
Before I do this song, there's something I want to read that's very important in order to do what we're going to sing. We're going to play, excuse me. My son, it's in Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that I incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seek for his silver and search for his hidden treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. That's what we need. And to find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh upright. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shall thou understand righteousness, judgment, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enter in thy heart and knowledge is pleasant in thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee.
Amen.
To deliver thee from evil.
Amen.
And I want to do Psalm, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what we just hear, we've got to walk in the light of that word. That what a glory he sheds on our way when we do his good will. He abides with us all, with us still. Excuse me for my stuff. I'll try to do this, okay?